Like I said, I'm John Witherspoon. I'm the senior editor at AA Grapevine. I've been there 4 years now, and I'm the luckiest man in the world. I get to wake up and read your stories all day long, and it's amazing. And I'm also lucky because you guys send in about 150 a month, so we have lots of stories to work with, and I'll talk a little bit after the speakers about, you know, the kinds of things we look for, the kinds of stories we like to see, and to, you know, maybe throw out some tips or something, of, you know, to help you when you're, if you're thinking about writing your stories. So we'll get to that. I want to, Amy, the executive editor publisher, is in the room. Hi, Amy. Thank you very much. She steers the ship. She's the one who runs the ship. She's amazing. And are there any board members here? Grapevine board members? Is Alvin here? No? Okay, if they come in, I'll try to get, so you guys can get to know these guys. Cause they also steer the ship, you know, the Grapevine. And let me see. So I'll talk about the manuscript process and then we'll get to writing in a little bit. But first I'd like to introduce our speakers. Now, one of the joys for me is I work with these stories. I pick them out. Me and the staff, we all pick them out and I edit them and I live with these stories, and they're just like, oh my God, this story is so great. Oh my God, this story is so great. And I never see the faces. I never see the faces until I come to places like this. And one of the great things about coming here to the International Convention is I've met about six or seven people who came up and said, oh my God, you ran my story. And I said, what's the title? And they tell me the title and I'm like, oh my God, that was you. And it's like, oh my God, I can put a face on this story, you know? Cause I love these stories that we run, and I get to see the faces. And here are two faces right here of some of our stories that we've done. And they're here to talk about their experience with writing, and hopefully it'll encourage you guys to get going, because this book, this magazine, and the website, the stories on the website, is made up of us. It's us sharing our stories. It's like it's the only place in AA that is the current ongoing back and forth sharing back and forth of the stories in real time. And So that's that. So I want to introduce our first speaker. They're going to speak for about 15 minutes. PJ from my home group is going to time them. So PJ, raise your hand. So watch PJ. He's going to give you a 2-minute warning. And first up is Miley T from San Francisco.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Does this seem like the right volume? Yeah? Okay, very good. So I started out by contributing. Well, let me first introduce myself. So my name is Miley T. My sobriety date is July 13th, 1984. My home group is Each Day a New Beginning at 7 a.m. in San Francisco, California, home of the San Francisco Giants. And my sponsor is Ruth S., and Ruth is amazing. She currently has 49 years of sobriety, and she's going to be 79 years, no, she's going to be 80 years old in December. And so she sends all her love to you. She's amazing. And whenever I speak, I always speak of my sponsor, and she always makes sure that I mention that she got sober in Mendocino State Hospital for the insane. So, yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome. And I met Ruth at my very first AA meeting in 1984. So what a blessing. And I'm also super touched because her son-in-law is here today. And it's so touching. Really, I'm going to try not to cry. But it's so touching. He lives in Virginia. And it's just, it's beautiful that David's here with us today. So let's see. So I started out contributing to the Grapevine. Number one, I love the Grapevine. I'm a big Grapevine geek. Everyone in, you know, my group knows that. And they just handled it. And I started out contributing photos because I love to take photographs, like when we take trips and, you know, not a professional or anything. I just love to take photos. And then I started, you know, I read the grapevine and say, oh, they have a photo contest, you know. And they just, you know, all the alcoholics across the world send in their photos. And so I did. And right away, there was immediate gratification. So this is like 2008. And it's just, you know, sweet little photo. And then one of a, I thought this was a very optimistic looking sunflower here. And I thought, okay, that's good. That's me. That's my story. And then, in 2009, this was on a trip. But just, you know, I mean, it's things that anyone could do, especially nowadays, you know. And then just, you get the picture. So I started contributing to the calendars. Then over there, sometimes they would say, well, we don't want it for the calendar, but is it okay if we put it in on the grapevine? I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be fine with me. And so that's super sweet, you know, and it's just a very casual thing. And the other thing I would mention, whether you're writing or sending in photos, is that volume is good because, you know, probably 90% of the things I've sent in have never been published, and that's perfect. You know what I mean? I mean, I've only sent in one writing, but with the photos, you know, they just see what works for them. So don't get discouraged, is my point. Now, in January 2015, this year, January is often the young people's program, I mean, the theme. And so my very first story was there. And that pretty much does look like me. So you get the picture. For those of you at home, I'm holding up a picture of a purple mohawk. And it's not mine because of anonymity, but it is someone's. They titled it "Take a Risk," and it was very cute. It says, "With spurs and spiky wristbands, she found her way to AA." So that was very cute. And I was 21 years old when I arrived. The main thing for today is I just would like to really encourage all of you to contribute. You know that everyone has a story. You know, whether you're young or you're old. Everyone here, and the fact that you've come all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, right, in the middle of the summer, that tells me something about your alcoholism, right? You know, that tells me that you're the kind of person who has a story that probably should be shared, all right? So, and then the AA Grapevine has a statement of purpose that I really love, so I'm going to read it. It says, "The AA Grapevine is the International Journal of Alcoholics Anonymous." Okay, right there, that's amazing. We have an international journal. It is written, edited, illustrated, and read by AA members. Who ever thought we could do something like this, right? I mean, you know, people are train wrecks, and what are they doing? They're writing, editing, illustrating, and we're even reading. You know, I mean, you know, I am really impressed by that, as well as others interested in the AA program of recovery from alcoholism. The Grapevine is a lifeline linking one alcoholic to another, right? I mean, that's a radical idea. It's an amazing idea, and that's something I want to be a part of. You know, I want to be part of a lifeline linking one alcoholic to another. I also see as contributing a photo or stories like 12-step work, and the fact that it can go around the world kind of blows my mind, and that it's available 24/7. You know, part of the thrill of contributing for me is thinking like, you know, the calendar could be hanging in someone's kitchen, you know, and in Iowa and in Alaska and anywhere, you know, and that maybe they'll look at it and we just shared something. To me, that's super touching, you know, or that, you know, someone is really hurting, someone in the middle of the night might just be feeling so isolated, or someone could, you know, many people in prison. You know, to think that something you wrote might be of service to someone else, it's just huge, you know, and that, of course, is our primary purpose. And the other thing I really love about the Grapevine is that it's really all of us. It's not some kind of like elite group. It's not a literary, well, it's a literary journal, but it's not like, you know, the New Yorker. It's something that is like accessible to us, and it's real alcoholics. And to me, alcoholics have the greatest stories ever told. I mean, Laura knows we like to tell them, right? I mean, you know, but I mean, you're never going to hear a better story. I mean, if I go to a movie or something, I'm usually disappointed. I'm like, I got to hurt that Friday night, right? I mean, you know, big deal. You know, that's not that exciting. So, And so for my story right here, I'm not going to read it, but it just starts out, you know, so when you're thinking about writing, I knew it was the young people's theme. And so my very first sentence was, I knew I was an alcoholic by the time I was 19. Mm-hmm. Boom. So that tells you a lot. gives you a lot of information right there. So I just tried to set the stage, you know, tell our traditional story of, you know, what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. And then when I write something, and I do this whether it's for work or anything, you know, I edit, because I can talk, right? So what I need to do is edit, and just get down to the gold, you know, because I'm just going to, but it's good to write it for me. It's good for me to write it all out first, and then reread it, and if something's repetitive or just doesn't, you know, seem that like gold, then check it, you know. But just to really keep the gold in there, because it's also a very short amount of space you have, so you want to really condense it down. And I also really try to focus on what's my message of hope, because if I don't have a message of hope, then I probably don't need to be writing it down, you know. That's my opinion. So I'm trying to figure out what is my message of hope. And so in my story, I wrote about growing up around severe alcoholism. You know, that's how it starts out. You know, I grew up with my grandfather and my uncle. My grandfather also went to the state hospital in 1965, same year as my sponsor. And he was in Agnew State Hospital for you Californians. And then my uncle, he lived with us. He had wet brain and was unable to care for himself. And he was a really great guy to start out with. He was a really, really great guy. But there's a wonderful speaker, I heard his tape, where he talks about how alcoholism is like in a boxing ring, and how the boxer, you know, your opponent is alcohol, and, you know, you're in there, and you think, I'm going to win this time, I'm going to get it, I'm going to, you know, I got him this time, and it's like, kaboom, right? You never get it, you never win. But the part that's touching to me, he says, but my family, he goes, in boxing, your family has the front row seat, the most special people in your life, they get to sit right up front. And I thought, wow. Right? That's where that. So I had a front row seat early on to see the disease of alcoholism in my family. And I think that really benefited me, you know, because, you know, I could see it. And the minute I knew I was an alcoholic, I said, oh, that's the road. Yeah, I saw where that road goes, you know. And it went to jails and institutions and death, just exactly like our book tells us. So I knew that I didn't really want to, if I could avoid it, I didn't want to go down that road. So again, because of the theme I chose, which was about being young, since that's what I was I tried to focus on that. And for me, I tried to focus on the reader. So I thought, well, maybe probably young people might be a little more interested in my story. So I tried to write it with that in mind, thinking that the audience might be younger than usual. So that helped me in the delivery. And so then I talk about at 14, I started drinking and I had consequences. And I think for a lot of people that are young, when they come in very young, they suffer consequences very young. And, that's one of the things, you know, there was no messing around with social drinking. It's like, boom, bam, let's go right there. And then I dropped out of high school and, left home and, it's things like, and I also include little things, because I think, you know, one of the great things about AA is our sense of humor. You know, I think that's one of the things that really draws us together. So, you know, it wasn't that funny at the time, but the night I got all four of my wisdom teeth pulled out, I got 86 from a bar. But like, who would go to a bar after you've had all four wisdom teeth out? You know, it's very, yeah, okay, that guy, there we go. We're with the people, okay? You know, but it's not that attractive, right? You got the gauze in your mouth, right? You're kind of swollen. It's not a pretty look, but it wasn't even my town. It was the next town over, right? So I was like, wow, that took a lot of effort. And then I managed to behave so poorly that I was asked to leave. And I was 19. So, you know, and we're supposed to be 21 in California. And then little things like I had trouble setting things on fire, not on purpose, but, you know, like driving up from, I was born and raised in Santa Cruz, and then I've lived in San Francisco for at least 30 years. But there's a Highway 1, it's a beautiful highway that goes up the coast, and I set my car on fire, just the back seat, though, only the back seat. And, you know, because I was smoking and blah, blah, got caught up in the embers on my jacket, in my leather jacket, which was my prized possession. And of course, I was barefoot. I mean, of course you're going to be barefoot when you've got a car on fire. But things like that. And then I also, like, set my bed on fire once from smoking. So, right, so I think I have a smoking problem, right? So, but things like that, because, and I think it's good to include things like that, because we do have a sense of humor, and everybody loves the story about setting a fire, right? You just can't go wrong. That's our bread and butter here in AA, right? Any kind of disaster, we're gonna enjoy. And then, and as you can see from the photo, I did have a purple mohawk, and in 1984, that wasn't so common. But I just had to be me, I guess. For me, also, I spoke about that when I was a newcomer, the Big Book seemed like a mystery. You know, it was written in 1939, and I thought, well, what does that have to do with me? You know, I mean, what on earth could these fellows in 1939 possibly know about me? And I think that's something that young people coming in today, anyone, I'm sure, believes that. But so I wanted to speak to that because I thought, well, young people might really think like, this is so old-fashioned. How could this work for me? And, you know, what I learned is that Bill and Bob and the first 100 women and men, that they knew precisely, and that's what the Big Book says. It tells us precisely how to recover from alcoholism. And they knew everything they needed to know about me because I was an alcoholic. You know, everything else was leveled after that. So I also think for me, like in writing, I really, or even speaking, I do like to reference literature just to anchor it in the program. Because otherwise, I'm worried that sometimes when I'm talking, I'm afraid I could just like go astray. You know, I could just wander way off. So I do try to keep it in, anchor it in the literature. So for example, one of the things I wrote in my story, I wrote, I was certainly marching to my own drummer, and yet I fit in perfectly. In chapter 2 of the Big Book, we're reminded, we are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. And that has been so true. So I'm going to wrap it up here. But so one of the things also, again, when I wrote, I talked about, you know, how do you make it? Because I think that's something else. How do you make it? I'm 53 now. So how do you make it through your 20s, your 30s, your 40s? It's one thing if you come in at 50, you know, okay, well, you got to make it probably to another 30 or 40 years. When you come in young, one day at a time, I mean, that can really stretch out. Those one day at a time, that can really stretch out a long time. So in my story, I wrote from chapter 6 of the Big Book, we are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. So I think that's more so important. And here, my sponsor, who's coming up on 50 years, you know, the first thing she'll tell you is, all I have is today. All I have is today. All I have is today. And I think that's golden. And so in closing, you know, why should you contribute? In 1980, first of all, I am all about Bill and Bob, okay? I mean, sometimes I pretend they're my dads just for fun. I mean, I love Bill and Bob. But anyway, so at the end, I just want to say, in 1946, Bill said, the grapevine will be the voice of the AA movement. Within the bounds of friendliness and good taste, the grapevine will enjoy perfect freedom of speech on all matters directly pertaining to AA. Like the AA movement, it is to mirror, there will be but one central purpose. The grapevine will try to carry the AA message to alcoholics and to practice the AA principles in all its affairs. I mean, that's something I want to be a part of. You know, the fact that Bill and Bob participate in the grapevine and I can participate in the grapevine, that means like we're practically cousins at least, okay? I mean, I feel a lot closer. So I also feel like art opens our hearts, and so many creative ideas come to me when I'm in prayer or meditation. You know, if I can just relax, I swear, ideas just pop in. It's like special delivery. They just like come right in, and it's effortless, you know? And so I would just encourage you to please join us in carrying the message with a story or an image that only you can share, right? Only you can share. Only you can tell your short story. So, and I guarantee there's an alcoholic out there who's waiting for you. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow, that was great. Thank you, Miley. And our next speaker is Leslie J.W. from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Wow. It is such an honor and privilege to be here. My name is Leslie. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you all for attending this workshop and being here and having a desire to be a participant in the Grapevine. And thank you. That was a wonderful share. I'm overwhelmed right now, and I don't know why, because I've done it. I've talked, not in front of this many, but in people, but it's about the Grapevine. And that's what's so exciting for me. It means so much to me. I'd like to say that I should have 30 years. I'm flipping my hair back for the audio. But I wasn't ready. The second time I was institutionalized was for suicide, attempted suicide. I had been married a little over a year, and I thought that would make me better. And I drank a lot. I married a man who had a liquor store. Yeah, uh-huh. The only problem is I didn't want him to know how much I drank. So I'd have to go to the other stores and buy. And I had a lot of fun drinking. I really did. I had, I can remember in my 20s, I was married at the age of 18 after the college that I went to asked me to leave. You're supposed to study there, not go to the different university over in the other side of town and drink with the fraternities. And so they asked me to leave, and I came home, and I had someone who said they'd make me happy. And I wasn't happy. And my parents weren't happy either. They didn't want me home. They were celebrating. Their baby had left home, and then she came back like a bad penny. And so what I ended up doing is marrying this person. And he was a drinker on our second date, he wrecked my dad's car. So my parents were real happy about it, but we ended up getting married, and we moved to Utah because he was a good LDS, Latter-day Saint Mormon person who drank. And so we went there, and anyway, fast forward, I got divorced. I didn't drink much then because I had to watch out for him. But when I got divorced at age 22, Katie barred the door. I mean, I had friends. I always was insecure, and I had friends when I drank, and I went to bars and had fun, and made a lot of value mistakes. My values kind of went out the door of what I was raised with. So from about 22 to when I came to a rip-roaring stop at age 31 when I tried to kill myself and I was in the second mental institution, they told me I was an alcoholic. And so what I did was I said, thank you very much, I'm not, and fired my doctor and said, but I'll go through the program with you, your chemical dependency program. And I went through, and they gave me a marble, and they said, if you drink, you lost your marbles, and give it back, and all that. And that went out the door. But, you know, at that time, and it was about 30 years ago, that's when my drinking really took off. The problem was it took off in the laundry room, in the garage, in my bedroom, bathroom, wherever I could hide it. My drinking became hidden. And it wasn't until I was 37, I think, I came into these rooms. And my husband didn't even know I was drinking because he thought I had problems other than alcohol. And I wanted to identify with those other problems than to admit alcohol because I didn't want to give up my friend. And so when I finally came into these rooms, I didn't grab it like a lot of people did. I went to my meeting and I stayed sober for about 2.5 years by going to a meeting maybe once a week. And they told me to get a big book and I did. They told me to get a sponsor and I did. And that's all I did. They didn't tell me to read it. They did, but I wasn't listening. So anyway, I moved up to where we were living at that point, and there was a clubhouse right there, and they had meetings at 7 a.m. in the morning, Monday through Saturday, and I went there. And what happened was this one man welcomed me in, and I started going every day because I didn't want to get my kids ready. I'm sorry, John. I didn't want to get my kids ready for school. So it was a good way to go to a meeting, get settled, and then the kids would be ready to go to school. That was my initial motive, so I didn't have to do work. I was lazy. So I ended up going to this meeting, and every Monday they had a grapevine meeting. And they'd read a joke, and we'd all laugh. They had to have one of those jokes from the grapevine. And then they'd read a story, and we'd talk about it. And that's where my sobriety took off, because I fell in love with the grapevine. I started subscribing to it, and that was the first meeting I ever chaired, the grapevine meeting. And it was in October of 2 that my story was published, and that made such a world of difference. It made me think, this is a girl who dropped out of college, and who would take, you know, okay, I'm working full time, I can take 16 college credits, and I can lose 30 pounds, and I can do all these things, and I can juggle it all. This is a gal who didn't graduate from college, and yet they published my story, my message, and that's where it comes from. That's the thing is that it's one alcoholic helping another. And my story was published, and that was a funny story, too, because they asked me how I wanted to be listed in the story. And how hard is that to put your name down, Leslie? Well, did I want it Leslie J.W.? Did I want it Leslie? Did I want it Radiant Leslie? That was my nickname then. Did I want it Radiant Leslie LW, you know, and all that stuff? And so I put them all down and they said Leslie. That was, you know, and that's been my life, is learning to let go of my ego, my pride, my sick thoughts, my humility, trying to get grasp something from it. And I just continued to do the magazines, and then I became a GSR. And during the GSR, I went to one of those assemblies they have, and they had a grapevine table. And I went up to this guy, and I said, boy, that looks like a fun job. He said, you too could be one. I'm like, I want to do this. This is great. And so I did, and in the meantime, I wrote another story. Anyway, I got to be a grapevine coordinator. Yeah, that was the best service position I've ever had, bar none, including being a general service rep and a sponsor. I loved it, because I love the grapevine. I get to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. So here I am. today I've written many stories. Usually they start out as resentments at you all. And, you know, I was at a meeting one day where someone said, write till you can find love. That's a hard one for Leslie, this alcoholic, because that's not my nature. My nature is selfish and self-centered, lazy, all those things. And so I get to write these letters, and I'm sure John's read every one of them and just thought, wow, this is too good to be true. We're going to set this aside. But no, I get wonderful rejection letters that say, and I loved what you had to say, try 100 times, maybe one time it'll get published, and that's a pretty sweet deal. How many people have sponsored people who haven't made it? Oh my gosh, it's all of us. Yeah, same with the articles. But you know, the most important thing is that 12th step is we try to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And by doing that, it assures our sobriety. Isn't that easy? Isn't that a sweet thing? And so when I write my articles that get rejected, I'm teasing. You know, the best thing it is for me is to use a computer. Because when I was in seventh grade, I took typing class and I failed. And so I am using whiteout on a typewriter. That's, you know, I'm old school. I'm almost 61 years old, so we had typewriting classes and carbon papers and things like that. This computer thing is the best thing yet. I love it, you lucky ducks who never had to use a typewriter. So it does. It helps me to put a thought here and continue to type, and then maybe I'll go back to it. The other thing that when I write an article, sometimes I let my husband, I ask him to read it. And a lot of times I ask my sponsor to read it too. My sponsor has, I've had a lot of sponsors, probably 5, but the one I have now has 39 years of sobriety, and she got sober at 13. Yeah. And she teaches me a lot. She teaches me a lot about, it's not about Leslie, it's not Leslie Mind, or Leslieville, it's about helping another alcoholic. So even if you think you have nothing to offer, you never know, because a gal who barely made it through high school by cheating and by my personality, wrote 2 articles, and I got published. And to me, that was wonderful. It helped my self-esteem after I got down from that pridefulness and, you know, being puffed up in ego. It's the best thing I've done yet is be involved with the Grapevine. And I really thank you all for showing up. And I hope you all write articles, but get accepted. Thank you for letting me be here and be of service.
Oh, great. Leslie, thank you so much. That was great. And Miley, that was terrific. So let's get started. I'm going to talk for a few minutes about the manuscript process, what happens when your stories come in, and also some things we look for in stories, and then we'll get started, and we'll get started writing. First of all, I just want to make sure that you guys know I'm an alcoholic. All the people who work at the Grapevine, who work with the content of the magazine, are all alcoholics. So, you know, we have some non-alcoholics on staff who help with things, but the people who choose the stories and edit the stories, they're all alcoholics. So, Just want to make that, you know, clear. Now, when you go to send in your story, if you forget anything you've heard today or that we've said today, you can go onto the website, and we have a great website, aagrapevine.org, and if you go to the website, and up at the top, there's all these things at the top, and one of them is share. You click on share, and then you go to this little box right under share, and it tells you, it has editorial guidelines, it tells you what kinds of, you know, how what length, and it also... There's also editorial calendar, and it's it tells you all the different topics for the special sections of the, you know, the upcoming year and when they're due. So that's good. So you can always go to that. We get about 150 manuscripts in a month, and what we do is we have three AA members read every story. And then we assess them, and then we categorize them, and then we look to the issue that we're working on now and what special topic it is, and then if we can use it, we use it. If we can use your story right away, we use it right away. If not, we, after we've categorized it, like it might be a sponsorship story, it might be an old-timer story, it might be a sponsorship and old-timer story, it might be a six-step story and a sponsorship story. I mean, it could be many different things. So we put them in folders. And we have drawers, and we put them in folders. So then when we need a good sponsorship story, we go to that and we pull it out. So if you send in a story, it may run like 2 years. It could be 2 years and we'll use your story. So don't worry because we may, you know, your story may be still in the pipeline. And if we do use your story, we absolutely contact you. We contact you. You know that it's going to be in. So there's that. Things we look for when we in stories, like good stories, details. I know we say that we tell our story in a general way, but when it comes to like writing stories in the magazine and stuff, details are good. Like, where are you? Are you in Missouri or the Yukon? Are you in Florida? Were you drinking cheap beer? Were you drinking expensive liquor? That sort of thing. Like, details are really good, you know. The more details, the better. It brings the story alive, and it makes it different than the person's whose story you just read before that. You know, it makes all the stories different. Suggestion is look in the magazine. Read some of the stories, see how they're written, see how they're done. At the beginning of the story, it's good to just pull you right in with something. Like, just get your attention right away. So those are great. You don't have to be a great writer. You really don't. That's where we come in. We can help you with that. We can, you know, shorten it or edit it or, you know, play, you know, help you with it. We definitely work really hard to try to keep your voice, because that's what we want. We want to keep your voice. And, we'll get letters from, you know, people who can't really, one of my, favorite things is when we get stories by people who can't really write that well, you know, and it's like, but you see that they're trying to say something that hasn't been said yet, and it gets you right, and it gets me right here, and it's like, oh my God, I have to do what I can to fix this story so it's printable, so that can be passed along, and I love doing that so much, and so don't worry about, you know, it being perfect, because we can help you with that. It can be anywhere from 300 words to 1800 words. 300 words is like one page. And 1800 words is roughly like 4 or 5 pages. So you can do lots of different things. You can tell your full-blown alcoholic story. Or you don't have to. It could be a story about a sponsor you once had. Or it could be a six-step story experience. Or a fourth-step story experience. And what we're looking for with, like, step stories especially, and tradition stories, we're desperate always for tradition stories. And what we're looking for, the best ones are the ones that it's like your experience with the tradition. You or your group. Like, maybe your group had a business meeting and all hell broke out and you turned to a tradition to address that particular situation. You know, just good examples of how we use the traditions in our lives, you know. So we're looking for those always. We have special topics all the time. The very first part, the first third of the book is a special section usually, and then the rest is just, you know, the regular the regular stories mix. And in the special sections, we have on our website, you know, the ones coming up the next year, and some that are coming up because we made next year's list is old timers. We have an old timers special section. We're going to have a beginners for like people counting days, like beginners. We getting through adversity, like ways we get through things sober. Fun and sobriety, remote communities. If you know any, if you've lived in a remote community, or you know anybody who does, please encourage them to send those stories in. Atheist agnostic stories, experience. So those are some of the ones coming up. The full list is on our website and in the back of the book. In the back of the book right here. Every month you'll see what we're looking for. So that's good to know. We have different departments in the back. It could be a sponsorship story, a home group story, old-timers, newcomers. Emotional sobriety stories are good. You know, after you've been in AA for a while, how do you use the steps and the tools to get through things? We're always desperate for jokes. We're desperate for jokes. And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be an original joke. It could be something you've heard at a meeting. We even have a category called Heard at a Meeting. So you can just keep passing it on. And steps and traditions and concepts. And then as far as photos go, what Miley was talking about, we love to run member art. If we can, we always run it if we can. And we love to do that. We love photos for the calendar and the magazine and cartoons. If you know anybody who's a cartoonist, like the cartoons we have we're looking for that. So please send them our way. So I think that's it. So we've provided paper and pens, and you know, you could also, if you don't want to write a lot, you can write something really short, and it could go in the letter section. So you don't have to, like, kill yourself today, you know. So, and also we have a section called What's on Your Mind, which is an opinion section. So you can get some good beefs out of you. You know, you can say, so those are good, too. So, so I guess you can, if you want, start writing. I hope we have enough surfaces. There's some tables in the back. And here's the thing. Please put your name and your contact information at the top of the page. Your name and the contact information. So if you turn it in. Also, if you don't finish today, take it home and finish it. You know, take it home and finish it, and then you can send it to us that way. Or you could transcribe it, you know, type it into the website and send it to us through our website. You know, so if you want to get a good start today, or if you want to go ahead and finish it, you can turn it in. Just make sure you have your contact information on there. So we're all here in case anybody, you know, raise your hand and ask a question if you want us to come over to you, I guess.
Sure.
Right? And get started. Yes. Yeah.